Will you join me in our opening prayer?
Let us pray in unison.
Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship. In the mystical body of your Son, Christ, our Lord, grant us grace so to follow your holy saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who sincerely love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Congregation, be seated, please. Today is All Saints Sunday. Today is also the first day of the month, our traditional time, first Sunday of the month, our traditional time for celebrating the Lord's Supper. It is our privilege as United Methodists to recognize that this is not the United Methodist table, but the Lord's table. And it means that everyone, regardless of your denomination, you are invited to partake with us as fellow Christians and certainly followers of Jesus. So please come when it is time to receive the elements. Hear now the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ has died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward at this time. I should like to talk with you about this weekend. Others who'd like to come? Come right in, young man. I'm glad to see you. Good. Well, last Sunday I talked with you about three things. It was long and involved. That's why we're going to go back over it this Sunday so we can remember. Did you go trick-or-treating Friday? No? Okay. Did you go trick-or-treating? Did you? And you didn't get a thing, did you? Except a sugar high, right? Well, that was Halloween. We talked about the story of a long time before Jesus. It was a pagan tradition, a not Christian tradition, where people thought that dead people were running around trying to find a place to live. And the living people didn't want the ghosts with them. So they built fires. And we've kept this tradition in Western civilization, in America and in Europe. We've kept it. And nowadays you put on scary faces. Did you have a scary face? Did you? No? Did he? No. You did. I saw you. Well, I'll tell you, this was to play like you were a dead person. And you're supposed to scare people. And you're supposed to say trick or treat. That's the tradition of Halloween. Well, in about 600, there was a pope. His name was Gregory, and Gregory told all the missionaries of the Christian church to the pagans, look, find out when their holidays are, and we'll put a holy day right next to it, and we'll see if we can't get them to believe in Jesus and not what they've been believing in. And so that's what they did. All Saints Day was yesterday, and everybody that didn't have a day where we could call them saints, like St. Nicholas at Christmas, or St. Valentine, Valentine's Day, or St. Patrick in March. Everybody else that didn't have a day, we would remember them in the church on All Saints Day. Well, the next day is today. That's November the 2nd. And it's traditionally called All Souls Day. And we're supposed to pray for those who have died. We're supposed to remember them. And in about the year 800, the church started reading names of those they had lost in the previous year. And that's what we still do. And it goes way on back 1,300 years ago, and I think that's 13 centuries. The churches have been doing what we're going to do in just a few minutes. So today is All Souls Day. Yesterday, All Saints Day. Put next to a pagan holiday so that people would remember, yeah, you're going to have your pagan stuff Friday night. But remember, the next day is a holy day. And the day after that is too. And the word Halloween comes from All Hallows, meaning holy, All Hallows Eve, which we said last week was like Christmas Eve. That's the day before Christmas. All Hallows Eve is the day before All Saints Day. And you run that together and you've got Halloween. All Hallows Eve, Halloween. That's why it's called that. Now, we won't talk about this till next year, okay? So I want you to remember all this. I'm not going to give you a test on it. But today is very significant. Yesterday was, and certainly we remember Halloween. Why, our high school didn't even play its football game on Halloween. They knew. They wanted to be spooks, didn't they? Works. A lot of schools didn't. Let's have us a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for high and holy days. We thank you for the conversion of pagan people to Christianity and the belief in Jesus. But we also thank you for a time, such as today, where we remember those who have passed on during the past year. Bless them, bless our memories of them, and bless us all. In the name of Jesus, amen. And thank you all for coming up. In our bulletin and in the announcements page, you have a number of notices of persons for whom we need to be remembering in prayer. Please add to your list Steve Yokley, that's Martha's son, who suffered a heart attack this week. And he's in Vanderbilt Hospital, doing very well, but there still needs to be additional tests as to whether he will have a heart bypass surgery or if the stents he had put in would be sufficient. I spoke with Martha yesterday as well as today. He's resting nicely. I had prayer with Martha. She turned the speaker on, phone on, and Steve heard the prayer. And he thanks you, and Martha does as well, for remembering the situation in your prayers. So that's another person we need to be adding to our prayer list. Now, it is your tradition, indeed the tradition of the church, that we remember those persons who have died since this time last year. I understand that last year there were about 12 people that we needed to remember. This year there are two. So I would like for you to stand and be in silent prayer. Please stand. And as I read these names, we'll ask our organist to chime immediately following. Let's remember their memories. Let's remember their contributions, and let's give thanks that we got to keep them as long as we did in this congregation. First of all, Howard Easy Jarvis. Richard Fuller.
Please be seated and continued in prayer. Gracious Lord, our hearts go out to you in thanksgiving for our great and illustrious tradition of Christian people with our customs, with our practices, and with our ways of worship. We give you thanks for the high and holy days of this weekend, and especially today for All Souls Day, which we also name All Saints Sunday. We're grateful for the names that I've just called and we have remembered. We thank you for their many contributions to the society and the communities in which they have lived, and most particularly to this congregation of this your church. We have already commended them to you, O Lord. So now we simply thank you for looking after them in the next realm, for we did all we knew to do in this realm as we supported their faith and as they witnessed to us. Thank you, O Lord, for all of our blessings, the ones from nature. What a beautiful, beautiful time in which we live. The ones from our Bible studies, for letting your Holy Spirit open to us scriptures that we may have read many times before, yet on this occasion we have new insight. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, at which time we turn our thoughts, our hearts, and our very beings to you and open ourselves for your inspiration. Thank you for this privilege. And, O Lord, we confess to you that at times we haven't taken advantage of your gifts and remembered from whom we received them. We've overlooked you, Lord, and we're here to confess our shortcoming. And we ask you to help us, make us ever mindful that you're everywhere in every situation, helping us see how we can make any situation better. For this is indeed our calling as followers of Jesus. Help us be faithful in our prayers. This day we pray for those listed in our bulletin, as well as with the prayers and situation of Steve Yokley and Martha and their extended family. We lift him up and all others who are facing issues that are not comfortable when we reflect upon him. We ask your special blessings upon little Blake Honeycutt and his dear family. He's in the hospital, of course, oh Lord, you know this. But please be with your servants, the doctors and the nurses, and the pediatricians who work with him and with his people to know what best to do for his situation too. Now bless us, O Lord, as we continue in our worship service. Bless Dr. McKee as he breaks the bread of life in our midst this day, and especially be with us during the celebration of the Lord's Supper. In the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. to the time in our service when you, the people of God, have an opportunity to give back to God something in the way of money of what he has let all of us earn. So if the ushers will come forward, we will receive the tithes and the offering. Depths of our being, for the opportunities to live and move and have our being here in this realm of yours, for opportunities to earn money, to save money, and to give money, especially to further your work. Accept now your tithes and our offerings. Use this money to further your work, your mission, your ministry, here in this church and throughout our community, indeed, in the world itself. Amen. Let the congregation be seated. It's your bad.
It's me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
It is a privilege to be here with you today.
And I'm delighted that my wife Charlotte traveled here with me. In fact, she was the driver. But I do bring greetings to you in the name of Jesus and greetings on behalf of Bishop Mary Tiller. It is just wonderful to be with the people of the Rockwood United Methodist Church. And I'm delighted to look out into the congregation and see some people who I have come to know over the course of the past few years. It is good to see Brother Glenn in the house, Brother Tommy, even Brother Wayne on the organ, and the mayor and Mrs. Mayor. I want to lift up for your reading Philippians chapter 2. And please bear with me. I'm under medication right now, and I'm probably not going to be responsible for anything I say or do. but in Philippians chapter 2, and if you have by any chance your Bible and located Philippians chapter 2, if you would say amen, that would be wonderful. I'll start reading when you say amen. Amen. Well, in this piece, hear these words as recorded. If then is there any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another beautiful day. It is my prayer now that you would take me and hide me behind the cross. Hide me, dear Lord, in order that less of Adam is seen, that less of Adam is heard, that your Son Jesus is lifted up. It is in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it is not strange, it is not uncommon to turn on the television or listen to the news on the radio and to find that the world we're living in is filled with multiple economic, political, and social challenges. In our contemporary society, people tend to lean exclusively on political figures and the brilliant thinkers of our days for solutions. But my brothers and sisters, sometimes it gets a little rough. Sometimes we can't seek out help from a human being. Sometimes we find ourselves actually in need of salvation. You know, salvation can be described as deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. But in reality, at some point in time, all of us can find ourselves in need of help from the challenges. Like, have you ever been there? Have you ever had to deal with stuff that seemed to have spun out of control? Have you ever had to deal with situations that were not of your making, but were depressing and harmful to your well-being? Well, there are times when the pain and struggles of life are so strong and intense, we can barely muster ourselves to face them. To face them, to stand flat-footed and stand up to the stuff that comes at us. There was a late theologian and writer by the name of James Baldwin who had written these words in an essay. One sentence. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. The question is, when the chaos of life rushes in like a flood, when things seem to be out of control, when we can't turn to our politicians, we can't turn to the philosophers, who can we turn to help us make it through? I submit to you this morning that there's someone who can help get us on the right track. That someone is Jesus. Now, I give you a disclaimer right away. I'm a little subdued right now because of the medication. But I want you to know that Jesus has a name that's higher than any other name. And there are great benefits from coming to know Jesus. One gospel writer put it this way. When you are down and feeling kind of low, and you don't have any place to go, when your friends become few and your money is gone, and it seems as if you are left all alone, I would like to recommend a man who will never let you down. So he'll put a smile on your face. He will always be around. Let me tell you who he is. His name is Jesus. In our text, we find the Apostle Paul, who had an encounter with Jesus himself a few years earlier. You see, Paul was someone that initially had wreaked havoc in the church. He went around just destroying churches and putting Christians on the hit list. But one day, on a road to Damascus, I believe it was, Paul had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus spoke to Paul's very soul. Next thing you know, according to the biblical record, Paul winds up on a road named Straight, and he gets his life together. He has been converted. He's no longer Saul, but he's Paul. But in our text, years later, we find Paul in prison, writing a letter to the Philippian church, to people who've had some challenges in their lives, to people who've experienced difficulties in their lives. And he writes this letter and he lifts up Jesus and he encourages those who would believe to have a mind like Jesus, a mind that would look beyond the faults of others and see their needs, a mind that would forgive those who have brought harm, a mind that would say, "For Christ I live and for Christ I die." And he lifts up Jesus and he says that Jesus is exalted, that his name is above every name, and that at some point in time, no matter who you are, no matter how big and bad you might think you may be, every tongue shall confess and every knee will bow down. Wow, who is this man named Jesus? Well, I could spend time sharing with you from a theologian point of view and rattle off great theories. I could speak to you from an academic-minded individual that I am, but I'm just going to speak to you the way my grandmama did. My grandmother helped me to understand that Jesus was someone that I had to have a personal relationship with. You see, it was a rough night for me many years ago when I was a young 20-something. And I found myself in a state of disarray. My life had begun to be shattering right before my very eyes. I was heartbroken. I was beat down. I didn't feel as if life was worth living anymore. And so around 2 a.m. in the morning, I got in my car and traveled from St. Petersburg, Florida, to my grandmama's house in Clearwater, Florida, and I knocked on the door around 3 a.m., and she looked through the peephole and recognized it was her grandson, and she let me in. And as I recall that morning, that early that morning, my grandmother said, "Baby, what's wrong?" And before I could say anything, I burst into tears, and she ushered me in and set me down on the sofa and got up and went into a linen closet and pulled out a towel, much like this, and sat down and put her arms around me and wiped away the tears from my eyes. And she looked at me. She said, "Baby, you have a great education. You have a nice car. You have a beautiful home. But what you don't have in your life is Jesus." Oh, wait a minute, folks. I was raised in the church. I went through those things like confirmation, raised in the church. But I truly had not accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. At least life had not thrown me a curveball until that point when I found myself sinking. And I'm sitting on that sofa and I'm hearing my grandmother says to me that you need a personal relationship with Jesus. And when I looked at her, I said, "This lady been an old lady all my life. But I've come to trust her." And grandmother sent me through what I call the steps of salvation. She said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I said, yes, ma'am. Do you believe that he was crucified on a cross for your sins? And I said, yes, ma'am. Do you believe that he got up on the third day with all power in his hand? I said, yes, ma'am. And my grandmama said, you are saved. You want to walk with Jesus. You want to talk with Jesus. You want to tell him all about your troubles. You want to embrace him. You want to live a life of devotion to him. I said, Grandma, I don't understand. She said, baby, you've got to get yourself into church. But before you do that, spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in devotions. And tell the Lord where your pain is coming from. I looked at my grandmother. I said to myself, I've known her all my life. If this is what grandmama says I need to do, this is what I need to do. And I embarked upon a path, I tell you, where I developed a personal relationship with Jesus. He would walk with me. And in walking with me, he would speak to my very soul. And he would tell me that I was somebody special, and that I should hold my head up and not be bowing down. Well, when I developed that relationship with Jesus, I found out that he loved me because I was in search of real love. Is there anybody here who's ever been beat down in life? Perhaps you've been beat down and you don't want to admit it. Perhaps you've had some challenges and you don't want to admit it. But let me tell you, there comes a time when the only somebody that can help us is Jesus. Is there anybody here who does not mind calling out his name? Is there anybody here who can testify that if it had not been for Jesus and my walk with him, I wouldn't be here today? If he's ever done anything for you, why don't you give him a hand clap of praise? You see, the foundation of Christianity is that every tub learns to stand on his own bottom. That means everybody has to have developed his or her own personal relationship with the Lord. Up until that point, I would call upon my grandmother to pray for me. Up until that point, I would call on my grandmother to pray for me. Up until that point, I would call upon my grandmother to pray for me. But that night, when my grandmother led me to the steps of salvation, I embarked on a journey. You see, my brothers and sisters, life is a faith journey. It doesn't matter how much you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how much education you have. If you do not have Jesus in your life, you don't have enough to make it. And if you are stripped of your wealth, if you are stripped of your fame, if you are stripped of your prestige, if you are stripped of a loved one, okay. If your girlfriend walks out on you, if your best friends walk out on you, if all you have is Jesus, you've got enough to start all over. When I started on that path of realizing that his name is Jesus, I had to come to truly understand what that name meant. And the first piece for me was that it meant that I would have access to a personal Savior. And through prayer and devotion, I could be keenly aware of his presence in my life. Is there anyone here today who has a sense that when you put aside all the pretense, when you put aside all the tradition, that you have a working, walking, living relationship with Jesus? Tell you what, when I found out what that name Jesus meant that he is a Savior, that God sent him into the world, that those who would come to know him would not only be forgiven of their sins, but have access to the abundant life. When I learned about that name Jesus, I began to realize that there was power in the name of Jesus. You see, this man named Jesus was born in a manger, raised up by his mother and stepfather Joseph, studied in the synagogue, the temples as a young lad. And when he'll reach adulthood, he began to be about his father's work. There were stories about this man named Jesus, how he performed miracles. One day he encountered a man at the pool of Bethesda who had been beaten down by life. He was crippled, if you will, unable to make any kind of progress in his life. But Jesus came upon him one day at the pool of Bethesda, which means the house of mercy, and encountered this man. You see, this man hung out at the pool because in the King James Version, there's a story that an angel would come down at a certain season and stir up the water, and whoever would get in first would be healed. Well, if this man was crippled, if this man had difficulty walking, he would never be first in the pool. But one day Jesus came by, and Jesus encountered this man and raised a question, do you want to be made whole? My brothers and sisters, there are many of us who are going through life now that are shattered and broken and not whole, that need something to help us to get to point A, point B, to point Z. And I suggest to you this morning that that person is Jesus. Jesus looked at this man and challenged this man to let go of his past and to pick himself up and walk. One day he was in a temple, and there was a woman who was bounded up with stuff. She was bounded up, I tell you. And Jesus looked at that woman and declared, woman, thou art loose. One day Jesus was walking through a crowd, and there was another sister who had been to doctors over and over again. She had a medical condition. She was losing blood profusely. But she heard that Jesus was on the scene. And by faith, she pushed her way through the crowd, believing that if I just touch him, I'll be all right. And when she touched him, he stood still. And Jesus looked at her, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Who is this Jesus? He has power to bring change in our lives. This Jesus, one day he was in a house and he was preaching. And there was this man who was a paraplegic, paralyzed, couldn't get around, but he had friends who had heard about this Jesus. And they did everything they could to get him in this house. Well, they couldn't come in through the front door. Sometimes access to those things we need might be blocked. But they found a way to go up on the roof. And I'll tell you what, this guy had friends, according to the biblical text, that cut a hole in this man's house, the roof, and lowered Jesus in. Now, the flesh in me would get upset that somebody would get up in my roof and put a hole in it. But they lowered this brother down, and he was healed. You see, the biblical record helps us know that Jesus has power. I know, Adam. I've heard the biblical stories. But did you know that the stories were written in order that we might believe? In order that we might believe that Jesus could make a difference in our lives. These physical healings can also help us to know through these stories that the Lord can mend our broken hearts. These physical healings can help us understand that the Lord can bring spiritual healing. These physical healings can help us understand that we have someone we can put our hope in. I don't know about you, but life can be rough sometimes. In the early stages of Jesus' ministry, they doubted him. But when he started performing his ministries, things began to turn around. But my brothers and sisters, if you are familiar with the story of Jesus, you're also familiar with the fact that as Jesus performed miracles, those in the power structure did not care for him. They felt threatened. They felt that he would take their place as a prominent figure. And so they plotted his demise. You know, that's a terrible thing. All Jesus did in his name was do good. And let me tell you something. They found a way to take him out. He was found guilty by a kangaroo court. And he was crucified by the Roman government. But while he was on that cross, Jesus looked out upon those who were at the cross. He looked out upon those who were taunting him, those who actually crucified him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, in his name, there is forgiveness of our sins. He hung on that cross and demonstrated that God has great power. Let me tell you how. Because as Jesus hung on that cross, he looked down and he saw his mother weeping. And he found one of his trusted friends at the foot of the cross and made sure that his mother would have the help she needed going forward. When he was hanging on that cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he was working out our salvation behind the time of curtain, the curtain of time. As a matter of fact, when he was behind that curtain of time, crying out, my God, why have we been forsaken?" He was working with the Father to find a way that when we have troubles in our lives, when we need shelter from the storms of life, we can call on Jesus, and that there's a power that can lift us up when life has knocked us down. That there's a power we can call on that can help us to smile when others think we should be crawling. That there's a power to help us to run when others think we should be crawling. While he was on that cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he died. There are times when, even in this life, when it seems as if we're not going to make it, that the end is near. And this Jesus, he died. But the record says he came back on the third day with all powers in his hand. And when he came back with that type of power that we have access to. If you call on Jesus, I can't guarantee much in life. But the text says that his name is higher than any other name, that he is exalted. If you call on Jesus, at least he can get us to a better place than where we are. But not only calling on him, in the name of Jesus, there's peace. How many of you have had situations where you almost lost your mind? You didn't know if you were coming or making it. You just didn't know how things were going to work out. But you had a little talk with the Lord through prayer, and he worked things out, and he spoke to the storms in your life. There was this story where the disciples were on this ship, and they were trying to go to the other side, and they were traveling with Jesus. And if you've been traveling through life with Jesus, this story is exactly for you. Because while Jesus was asleep, a storm came up, and the disciples thought they would perish. How many times have we had situations when we felt that we were going to perish, that we were not going to come out on top? But we called on Jesus. The disciples called on Jesus, and he spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." In Christ, there's peace. Peace and joy that defies logic. If you have not tried him, try him for yourself. Now you say, "Reverend, we heard all of that. We've heard your testimony. But you don't know what we are experiencing. You know what challenge I'm experiencing as a young adult. You don't know what challenge I'm experiencing as a senior. You don't know what challenge I'm experiencing as a young child." No, I don't. But I do know that Jesus cares. And if you're looking for someone who will love you, who will receive you just the way you are, who will be a change agent in your life, who will help you to get to a better place, then let me recommend Jesus. You can't go wrong. Rely on him as a personal savior. Get to know him as a power source that you can plug into through prayer. Get to know him as someone who can bring peace to your troubled lives. Get to know him and know one thing, that Jesus is able. Is there anybody here who said, "Wait a minute, Reverend, why you just want to talk about Jesus? Why you just want to over and over and stress those things about Jesus? That's an emotional approach." I know, but every now and then, we've got to lay down our guard and say, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee. The only help I know is thee. If thou remove thyself from me, whither will I go?" I'll tell you what, I was very emotional 9 years ago when I was in a hospital bed. My leg had been crushed and I had a blood clot. But my mama called me and she said, "Baby, do you remember the 23rd Psalm? Can you recite it in your condition?" I was in pain. I was in that hospital room by myself that particular moment. And I recited the 23rd Psalm. And I remember saying that the Lord is my shepherd. Well, you see, Jesus is the great shepherd. If we can put aside all of that stuff and realize that we need the shepherd, we can have what we need to make it through life. And if people talk about you, just smile at them. If life knocks you down, just get up in Jesus' name. If you find yourself with your back up against the wall, come out fighting in Jesus' name. If you have a resentment, drop it in Jesus' name. If you have a mountain to climb, climb it in Jesus' name. If you have a challenge to face, face it in Jesus' name. There's something beautiful about the name of Jesus. I can't really explain it. My education is insufficient enough for me to be able to explain it. I just know that He is that He is. He is the way. When our way gets hard, call on Jesus. When you need some compassion in your life, call on Jesus. When you get lost, call on Jesus. When your way gets dark, call on Jesus. When you get confused, call on Jesus. There's authority in His name. There's power in His name. There's hope in His name. Jesus. Some refer to Him as the bright and morning star. Some refer to Him as the Rose of Sharon. I just refer to Him as Jesus, a very present help. Jesus is the hope for the dawn of each day. Jesus is the feeling of joy when sadness comes into our lives. Jesus is the underlining love that will never leave or forsake us. Jesus is the comfort that heals and brings peace into our existence. When in the valley, call on Jesus. When you're doing good, call on Jesus. When your life falls apart, call on Jesus. When there's nobody around who can help you, call on Jesus. Do you know that Jesus means salvation? He is a Savior. He's a deliverer. In this day and age, politicians can't give us what Jesus gives us. In this day and age, the medicine that we receive is spelled J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And I assure you, you can't go wrong. His name is Jesus. Amen. The great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith,
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Let those who will be assisting and musicians, if you would come and stand about the table.